according to a Reuters dispatch. General Douglas MacArthur has ordered all women and children in Manila to evacuate the seacoast and move to areas inland. Dutch East Indies has just declared war on Japan. Costa Rica in South America has also just declared war. A bulletin from New York. Mayor Fiorello H. LaGuardia, Civilian Defense Director, announced tonight he had ordered all Japanese nationals in New York City to remain in their homes until their status is established by the federal government. At the same time, John Collins, Superintendent of Operations for TWA, acting on instructions from the Civil Aeronautics Authority, issued an order prohibiting TWA's planes from carrying any Japanese nationals. This order was directed against the special Japanese envoy, Korosu. We take you now to Hollywood.
One Man's Family, brought to you by Tenderly Tea.
What about her?
Oh, I've already spoken to their teachers.
But the nice thing is, if Pippa's going down early, perhaps he can drive us. I don't like driving at night.
Of course he will.
If he hasn't other ideas in mind.
Ideas, indeed.
Well, we'll see when he comes. I thought Claudia was coming in this afternoon.
She'll be home presently. How do you like the way I've rearranged the living room, Pippa?
Nothing you know as well as I do that you're going to have trouble with Father.
Man.
Yes, I know.
Anybody home?
Yes, Missy. In the living room, Jack.
Okay. What's the matter with this house anyway? Quiet as an empty garret.
Not when you come in, it isn't. Who's Betty?
Over next door. I don't know what I'm going to do with that girl. Takes her longer to get clean than an elephant should take. Locks herself in the bathroom and stays there and stays there. I think she must walk each port separately.
Oh, well, she's having fun.
Yeah, but it's getting worse. Well, the goodness is getting so I have to start her in the middle of the afternoon just to get her ready to come over here in the evening.
Well, that's just habit.
Yeah, but it's not a good one. What do you think I ought to do about it? You got any ideas?
Jack, how about you and Betty looking after your own child?
Oh, sure.
The reasons were not interested. The families have a natural tendency to disappear in young married people's lives, as it is.
Yes, don't leave yourself wide open by asking for suggestions. No kidding, though. It might get to be serious, mightn't it? Right now, I get a kick out of her fussing in the bathtub and fussing before the mirror and doing up her hair and taking it down and doing it up a different way and changing her stockings 3 or 4 times and trying on 2 or 3 pairs of shoes and slipping in and out of dresses just to get just what she wants. See what I mean?
But haven't you spoken to her?
Oh, sure. Not very seriously. It's all fun now, and she's got a lot of time on her hands, so it really doesn't matter. But recently, it's getting so she doesn't keep appointments.
And that is that.
Yeah, and the only reason because she takes so long getting ready. She really was a lot more efficient when we were first married than she is now.
And you think it's because she doesn't have much to keep her busy all day, and so she's getting into the habit of stuttering, huh?
What else?
Then by all means, see that she has something to do.
What?
Well, if your father wasn't so wrong a few weeks ago when he just named his children.
Hey, Mom, you too.
Well, that's why marriage was created in the first place. As a foundation for a family. Foundation that isn't built on is a pretty barren affair.
Something started that isn't finished, huh?
Yes, sir.
Doggone, those children are a heck of a lot of trouble and worry. Think of the responsibility.
Someday you're going to find out, Jack, that on any account, each human being is going to face more or less trouble and worry, children or no children. And that's responsibility. You can't be either a civilized citizen or a self-respecting human being without accepting responsibility.
In other words, we're born to get them in there anyway, so why not go whole hog?
That's one way of putting it.
Hi, Angel.
Oh, hello, Teddy.
Hiya, Quayle.
Hiya, Wolf.
Oh, what kind of language is that? I believe that's supposed to be the modern boy talking to the modern girl.
Quail? Sure. Quail, partridge, hen. It's all one for woman.
Yeah, but all men are wolves. Teddy, that's very young and unsophisticated cynicism.
Yep, that's what they're doing.
I suppose you haven't had any experience on your own?
What an odd suggestion.
Who do you think you're getting?
Anything that Teddy has experienced is both honorable and trustworthy, I'm sure. In any case, none of your affair, young man.
Then that's for you.
Sure. 3 women against me. Now I know what I'm like.
Where's Betty?
Oh, she'll be all right when she gets her neck washed.
Betty's the worstest person I ever knew. Maybe her mother was frightened by a stag of dirt.
Maybe. Hey, here come Claudia and Nicky.
Hmm? How do you know?
I see the front window reflected in the mirror over the fireplace.
Well, I'll go let them in.
You don't have to. My door's on the latch. I came in that way.
Oh, by the way, Hazel, I finished all my classes today and got caught up in homework so I can go down to the dairy ranch with you tonight.
Oh, the children will love that, Betty.
Well, maybe you don't think I won't.
Well, if you're coming along to look after them, I think I'll ask Claudia if she won't let Joan and Kenny go along, too.
All right. You might have kind of yelled to run around with the older kids, so it would be nice if you could have Penelope to play with.
Let's talk about Penelope.
Oh, and then Lily is right there.
Miss Jenny.
Hello, Mom. How are you?
Oh, as well as ever.
Put up your sister. Your nose is cold.
Sure, everyone here is just outdoors today. Refrigerator weather.
Where's Hickey?
Right here. I'm hanging up our coats in the hallway. Well, Mother Barbara, are you recovered from your shopping tour of the other day?
Well, most days. Well, I still got a black and blue bruise on my hip where Spanish and Christmas craze shoppers plowed through me.
Made a first down around right in, huh?
Yes, Dad. Well, I don't know. Left right after lunch. But he had business downtown. Did he say what?
Ah, you suppose it could be monkey business, Mom?
What's that?
With Santa Claus, maybe?
I don't think so. Said only yesterday that if he had the best these holidays such as every year, there'd never be a present for him.
It must be business, then.
Yeah, I don't know. He had a kind of Christmassy glint in his eye when he went out to get in the car.
Yeah. Hey, Mom. Then you went down to buy me that toothbrush you didn't get for Christmas when you were a shrimp.
Young man, I was never a
shrimp. Okay, and I'll be neat 9-year-old.
Hey, hey, Mother Barbara, would you still like a buck of tools for Christmas?
I would never. Our fathers have asked to bring Mother home a tool chest as we used to bring her a pair of blacksmith anvils. I'm afraid that's true.
I come home a tool chest as we used to
bring her a pair of blacksmith anvils.
I came down carefully.
You were here when I come and tell him.
What he said. He's up in the studio. I'll be right back.
Oh, what's that all about? I can't think for the life of me.
Well, we must compose ourselves. Wait.
Apparently. Well, anyway, Claudia, how about letting me have your two young daughters, Joan and Penelope, for the weekend, beginning tonight?
Look here.
You want two of my wild Indians for a whole weekend? That's what I'm asking for.
We're going down to the ranch tonight to have the picnic. And Teddy's going along, so I'll have plenty of help riding his arm. But there's no reason not I'd love having them.
Well, anyway, Joan, for sure. What do you think about Penny, Missy?
She's been taking over her nipples, isn't she?
Sure. Still giving her a cuddle of oil,
well, I suppose Hazel could give it to her.
I think I might. But if she's not well, it's frightening.
Oh, she's well enough. It's just a bother.
And it's settled. We drive down along about 7:30. Anyway, right after dinner.
Missy, would you mind pulling up Nurse and telling her?
Oh, not at all.
I'll go pack what's necessary, but tell her we'll be home before they go.
I won't leave in a moment.
Oh, you're doing a job for yourself. My two with your own three.
Oh, we get along beautifully. And what you call your wild Indians have always been two very sweet and obliging little girls with me. What do you do? Just massage them?
Hi, Paul.
Well, gathering with a cheap-lipped mob, you left.
Oh, what's all this you want to see me about?
Yeah, you've got everyone's curiosity around.
Good, isn't that important?
Oh, trying to rat out on us now.
Oh, you said so you'd let me know if you were down here.
But what we want to know is why.
Oh, hello, Paul.
Well, Nicholas, my boy.
Has he developed yet?
He hasn't said a word.
Excuse me. Did you get anything?
Oh, quite. Everything will be ready. I waited while Phil joined the tenant. They're getting back.
Of course they are. Now then, Paul. We're waiting.
The mob is licking its chops.
Is there something you want to talk about alone?
No, as a matter of fact, you asked me a couple of weeks ago to write down a few items concerning characters that you wanted to put up in Hank and Jason's room.
Oh, that? Of course, you done it?
Yeah. And that's all there is. You want to bring it down to what you wanted. Here.
Few items concerning characters?
Yes, we were discussing a few of the points about building character that Hazel wanted to impress on the boys. And she asked me to jot them down.
Why, Paul. Well, this is more by far than I'd hoped for.
It's all right.
Well, for goodness sake, how about the rest of us getting in on it?
Oh, I should say so. Here, Paul.
Go on, Paul, read it.
Very well, I will. This is it. To mold character. To want to mold a man to good is not enough. First, there must be a passionate desire in that man for self-development. After that, there must be determination, firm determination, and the will to do. He must not only want to develop character, but he must do it. He must bring his habit of thought and his habit of action. He must develop the habit of thinking clean thoughts and high-minded thoughts. He must develop the habit of putting evil out of his mind. He must develop good physical habits. Habits of exercise, habits of work, habits of graciousness, of courtesy, of friendliness. The physical and mental habits he forms now in his youth will mold the man he will be tomorrow. Form the habit of facing each problem as it comes up. Don't put off or delay a difficult task. Get the feeling that you are not a free agent until the task is done. Learn a new job that reveals itself, for if you do, you will be one who dominates this job and not dominated by it. And you will discover The more you do, the more you will be able to do. You will outdistance other men by leaps and bounds, men who are hindered and handicapped by their bad habits. That which will be difficult for others to accomplish will be simple for you. Then, too, remember the good things of life. Learn to find the beauty in music and art and literature and in a precious stone and in the work of the goldsmith and the silversmith. However, do not affect a taste for what you do not appreciate, but strive for a glimmering of understanding. Try to keep your mind sensitive and your taste sharpened. Enjoy all the sensations of life, but never dull them with overindulgence.
Oh, I think it's cheap.
Yeah. Can I have a copy? I wouldn't mind building a little character myself in my spare time.
Well, thank you, Mom.
But there's one thing you emphasize that I never thought about much before. Habits. According to you, the habits you form determine the kind of person you're going to be.
Man's life is concerned entirely with his natural functions and with his habits.
How about it, Nicky? Huh?
I believe that. Habit determines your getting up and your lying down, where you eat, what you eat, and how you eat.
Well, I suppose habit decides whether I'll go to call back, young man, or to a fat one tonight.
Well, if you think it won't, you've got another thing coming. And more than that, your habit of modest and decent thought will likely cause you to choose a pretty decent young man.
Well, that's habit?
It isn't anything else.
Hey, I don't want to break this up, but I'd better go back over home and see what's happened today.
There you are. The habit of looking out for his wife.
All done right. They're done good habit. Wives like Betty don't happen every day.
You coming back?
Oh, sure, Ma. Soon as I round up the mermaid.
Not how you think they're up too, is it?
You didn't say just when he's here.
Well, if he's doing his Christmas shopping, there's no telling when he'll get in.
The way to find out.
No, no, thank you. We don't want to flirt yet. We just want to look around. Thanks.
Good Christmas. You shouldn't have brought me to a place that big.
Thank my family's been buying gifts in this jewelry store ever since I can remember.
I don't want you to buy my Christmas present.
Oh, I do.
No, no. I mean it, Cliff. You're doing all you should do right now.
Look, Miss Irene Franklin, do you or do you not want to be picked up and shaken for your secret?
By you? It'll be covered.
Well, it's likely to happen in writing in public if you don't lay off the kind of talk to this
thing. I'm just trying to be sensible, Cliff. I don't need an expensive Christmas present. The way it is with us, I'd trade your Christmas card with your name on it just as much as anything you could buy.
You're pretty dumb, aren't you? You know that.
You know how I feel about you.
It's something to look at, too. Even if you are only a cottage person.
No, you say that thing a little bit more.
But more often to you.
I say that to you.
And now we're just going to kind of stroll around and look at things.
No.
Hey, not buy anything, just look. What is there now?
Because you'll get me to say something beautiful, and then on Christmas you'll give it to me.
Well, I'm reading my mind again.
Don't understand, Claire. I love your generosity. That's what's so wonderful about you. You'd give anyone you liked everything you have.
Sure, I would. If you would come a little curly and dark. Name is Irene Franklin.
But you just mustn't. Please be good and buy me a pair of silk stockings for Christmas.
Can't even make two pairs.
Two pairs would be especially sweet. Come on, please. Let's leave this
place. Oh. Well, I can't believe it. I'm a poor man working for $85 a month on a ranch. Poor men aren't supposed to come into nice places like this and buy their own beautiful things.
That's awful silly, Christmas.
Is it?
Yes. And the dinner you have in mind doesn't work for silly old stuff. I... Who's that old gentleman over there?
Yeah.
Over there. Here in that story.
Hey, that's Dad.
It's your father?
Sure.
He's angry, isn't he?
Yeah. Here he comes. Get ready for the crack.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Hello, Dad.
Yes.
Irene, this is my father.
Hello, Mr. Barber.
Yes.
Dad, This is Miss Irene Franklin, your personal speaker on the office.
Have I eaten? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Mr. Barker.
Believe me when I tell you that Chittard has no business being in a place like this on his salary. And for you to bring him here is the quickest way I know of bringing his downfall and utter ruin.
Yes.
Good
day to you, Mr. Woman. I hope to see you home for dinner, Chittard.
Chittard. He's wrong.
He's been wrong all his life. That's just about the limit. Come on, let's get out of here.
Here comes Jack back from over next door.
With Betty?
No, nope, not here. He's all home. Well, you can see he's done his husbandly duty. He's dressed up on it. He's got his coat collar up around his ears. Must be cold now.
Well, as long as it stays fresh, it's not going to rain.
Good, and I like it much better.
Oh, yeah, who doesn't? There he is.
Boy, oh, boy, it's cold enough to freeze globules of mercury.
Hey, I'll bet this is the
campy
dream we've had this year.
Come on up to the fire. Blow out your ears.
What about Betty?
That woman.
What now?
Oh, she only has to let the polish dry in her nails and slip on her dress and comb out her hair. Don't bother the whole dinner back for her mom.
I guess it's hard to come across.
Well, she may make it. I don't know the answer, honest. I don't. I think I'll take your essay on habit and make her wear it around her neck. Hello.
Didn't I just see a front door again? Hi, Cliff. Is that you?
No, it isn't, Clifford. It's me.
Why, Henry, what is it? Father, you're going to see it, are you?
There. Let me help you out of your coat. Here. Thank you. Here, sit down here, sir.
Henry, what in the world is this?
Henry, not half an hour ago, I had one of the most disagreeable encounters of my life.
Is that what made you angry?
No, I'm not here. I'm angry.
Well, you're going to make yourself ill if you don't control yourself, Henry.
My father was home there with your brother, Clifford, and that girl.
What girl?
That freshman girl over in Berkeley.
Yes. You saw Irene Franklin?
I did. And do you know where she had Drizzer?
Where she had him?
Yes, where she had him. They were in Murray and Webster.
Jewelry?
Yes, the jewelry. And she was hanging on his arm, looking as though butter wouldn't melt in her mouth.
Hey, were they in there for an engagement ring?
Oh, no, but they were.
Huh?
But were they or were
they? I don't know what they were in there for. Engagement rings never entered my head.
What, father? A boy and a girl in a jewelry store, and he never thought of an engagement ring?
No. I haven't liked that girl from the first moment I heard her name, and today my suspicions have been confirmed.
Out there.
Well, she had it in the most expensive jewelry store in San Francisco, didn't she? Clifford, who makes $85 a month on her ass, being marched into a place like that by a chit of a girl who apparently has nothing on her mind but what she can get.
But, Dad, do you know that?
Huh?
You just got through saying you didn't know what they were there for.
It was perfectly apparent.
Well, at least I hope you came away without anything to see.
I did nothing of the sort.
Oh, Father. Anyway, what did you see?
I went up to them and said very plainly that Clifford had no business in a place like that on his wages, and for her to bring him there was the quickest way I knew to cause his utter ruin.
Oh, you said.
Yes? It's perfectly true, Henry.
Henry, I think you must have it out of your mind.
Henry, you know just as well as I do that there's something queer about that arrangement.
Well, what is there is on me now?
Yes, appeasement. That's what it is, appeasement. Shutting your eyes to what you don't want to see.
Yes, but, Dad, if they did happen to be in there looking at engagement rings, what a terrible thing you did.
Perhaps I'm a better judge of that than you are, Paul.
Perhaps you are.
And let me tell all of you. At least I've seen this young woman.
And what did you see that makes you think you had the right to say the things you did?
That'd be crazy.
Huh? So you're here?
Yes, I'm here. And I still want to know what you saw in Irene that gave you the right to say the cruel and wicked things you did.
There's something wrong between you and that girl.
There's nothing wrong between Irene and me. Anyway, I'm almost 30 years old, and if that isn't old enough to take care of my own affairs, it's time I found out.
Yes.
That blew something, Paul. I could say a lot of things, but I think the truth will hurt worse, so here it is. It was my idea to take Irene into that store. I wanted to buy her something expensive, and she wouldn't let me. When we came in, she just insisted that we leave, that she would much rather have just a pair of silk stockings for Christmas. That's the truth. I hope it gives you a lot of satisfaction to know that you've absolutely ruined any chance of being liked by someone who may be your daughter-in-law someday.
Please, sir, don't say any more.
Just one thing more. I'm not asking you ever to see Irene again. But until you've written her a note of apology for what you said this afternoon, I'm not coming back in this house again.
Oh, Cliff.
I'm sorry, Mom, but that's how it is. And now, goodbye.
And that seems to take care of that.
And December means snow. In the south, the sun still shines. But north of south, it's the popular month, the month of gifts. Yes, locked doors and whispered conferences are the order of the day. And the barber home is no exception. Weston?
Hey, Teddy.
I'm not here.
Yeah, I know you're not. But let me in anyway.
No, sir. I'm in Compton.
Who's with you?
Fighting forces to resist Japanese aggression. This is the National Broadcasting Company.